Let's assume for a second that what we teach here is right. And that self-realization is the basis of all sin. That's an incredible concept. That all men died on the cross. That you are and have always been a vessel for deity. But until you accept your death, you're a vessel for the instead of Christ, the Antichrist. And so everything that you do with your mind and everything you do with your value systems is an attempt at self-realization. And in order for the plan of God to be manifested, a body of people in each generation must abandon themselves, take no thought for themselves, accept their death. That's an incredibly dangerous doctrine. Because it is a threat to every value system on the face of the earth, in every culture, in every time, in every land. Now, let's go to your mother, your father, your sister, your brother, your wife, your children, yea, in your own life also. Everything within that environment encourages self-realization. Encourages you to better yourself in every domain. Now, can you understand why, from the perspective of God, in order to follow Him, you must hate your mother, your father, your sister, your brother, your wife, your children, yea, and your own life also? You must hate with perfect hatred anything that keeps you away from the total and complete abandonment of self. Well, that's what you're wired for. You're wired for self-realization, self-protection. That is the essence of the instead of Christ. You're wired to want the respect of other people. You're wired to want them to love you and like you. You're wired to try to succeed in life, to try to continually better yourself. And every aspect of how you are wired is a direct enemy of the cross of Christ. Does that strike any of you? Do any of you see the meaning of that? Can you see the fullness of that? This isn't a game. This isn't one of the things you choose, oh, you'll accept this, and I'll take some of this, and I'll take some of that, and I'll create my own little religion. This is total, complete warfare against your mind and against all who would encourage you to move towards self-realization. And Jesus spoke of this so strongly that he said, if you offend one of these my little ones, and offend there means move them towards self-realization. If you offend one of these my little ones, it would be better for you that a millstone were hung around your neck and you were buried in the depth of the Dead Sea. And so the preaching of the cross is the only answer against your wiring, the whole system of thought which moves everyone towards self-realization, which moves everyone towards standing in awe of the Antichrist. You. The isolated self. the salvation, the protection, the realization of the isolated self is the mortal enemy of the cross of Christ. Can you feel this for once in your life? Can you feel it all the way to the depth of your being? Or is this just another philosophy that you're trying to add on to your whole pile of garbage? Do you think he was kidding when he said, when Paul said, whatsoever is a gain to me is a loss to Christ? Do you think he was kidding when he said he suffered the loss of all things and he counts them but dung? Do you really understand how pristine an enemy of God is your moves towards self-fulfillment, self-realization, self-protection of you and yours, and how you constantly search for ways to do that, to continue portions of your self-realization, but you try to put the name of God onto it? Can you maybe understand why the preaching of the cross is now and always has been the rarest thing in Christianity? Not preaching about the cross 2,000 years ago, but preaching the cross today that means your death. If you would, again, I've been doing this for a long time, well over 30 years. I have never once tried to entice someone, tried to get someone to hear me. I don't care whether you hear me or not. That's not my business. If you don't like this, if you don't feel like this is for you, then go someplace else. I wasn't kidding yesterday when I talked about leaving first your land and then your kindred, your family. Because your family are the ones who most severely encourage you toward self-realization. Anybody have any response so far?
Well, just it's like they're either encouraging you towards fulfilling yourself, or they're, by what's happening, they're encouraging you to take responsibility for stuff. That's like the other.
It's the same thing. Taking responsibility for your actions.
The other flip of the coin here.
Or condemning you for failing. When
yeah.
God says it's only the failures and the offscouring of the earth that he can use. Somebody must have some other response here. Michael? And so you search for doctrine that fixes it. And therefore, you have all the followers of Trinity Broadcasting Network. Can you get a feel? I mean, I don't think anybody has ever called me not zealous. The one thing I've been faithful at is being zealous. Now, what I must somehow impart to each one of you is to have that same zeal to come against all subtle aspects of self and self-realization and self-protection and self-fulfillment and security. Remember, anything whatsoever out there, whatsoever, is admired or wanted by men is an abomination to God.
Oh, well, I just want to be normal. I just want to live a normal life. Oh, only you don't understand. I've had it so rough, and now I just want to have some time for self-realization. I'll just do that for a little while, and then I'll come back.
Right. The other side of it, man, you're saying what I knew my whole life. I think I heard something.
Oh, you heard something.
I'm going to kill him.
Don't encourage him.
I didn't ask for your sympathy.
You talked about the point where you didn't say it like this, but that's what your friends are wondering after the beast, and then the whole world at this. You know, it's like that picture is so wild. That everybody, you know, their mind is, like you're talking about, wired to wonder after
the beast.
And it's like, you know, all the scriptural interpretations of that don't make any sense unless you hit upon that one, and that rings. You know, it rings within you because you know that's what happens. It's like you're in awe of self. And that's the
evil. Anybody else have any response?
Something about the way I look at others that you're talking about in a way, it's like, I really don't care about anybody except as how they affect me. But then if I do, you know, maybe I want them to, you know, prosper and them to get self-reliant. But if you really want the best for someone else, you want them to repent. What else, what better could you want?
Above all things, my brethren, I would that you prosper and be in good health.
Is that Paul?
No, it's John, 3 John. But the word prosper means to have a completed journey, that your journey in this earth and time and space would be successful, that you would be completed in the New Jerusalem.
So it didn't mean, you know, getting money?
No, it has nothing to do with that. The two things. By the way, let's go to Revelation chapter something or other. It's 2, I think. I want to show you. I think chapter 2. This is to a message to the church at Pergamos. Verse 14, chapter 2. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Now the word hate there, Christ is speaking, if he hates the doctrine of the Nicolaitans and he hates the doctrine of Balaam. Nico is the Greek word for success. He hates those that preach success in the name of God, and Balaam is mixing with the world system for your purposes of self-realization. The doctrine of Balaam and the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, Jesus Christ says specifically and clearly with great clarity that he hates, and he uses the word messio, the same word that it says that you must hate your mother, your father, your brother, your sister, your wife, your children, your own life also, etc. Now what does that mean? Christ doesn't hate those people per se. He hates what they represent. He doesn't want you to hate as wanting to kill your mother, but you must hate with perfect hatred everything that they have taught you, everything that they represent. So until you can bring them into the kingdom of God and treat them as brothers and sisters in Christ, you treat them just like everybody else. It used to drive Harry crazy because how I treated my mother, because I treated her just like I treated him. And, I mean, he couldn't stand it. He could not stand it until I went back to New Jersey and stayed with him and his mother. Then he was wonderful to his mother. And then we'd get alone. He said, "That bitch." So in truth, I mean, he's just a walking hypocrite. And what I did, my life, with regard to my mother, revealed his hypocrisy with regard to his mother. Does that communicate? I don't know that I treat anybody any different than I treat anybody else. If I do, I hope you jump on me. You know, after the flesh, some of you I like, some of you I don't like. Who cares? Do you understand the total completeness of the full gospel of God? Do you understand that unto you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all things are blurry. They're in... Go back to Deuteronomy 13.
I'll say something about the hate thing. It's when I hear it, it doesn't have the emotional content that the word would stir up because of English language. It has the total concept of separation. You hate, you separate, you don't associate in any way with the teachings of your family or anybody related to you.
You don't have to worry about separating.
It's that emotional part of the word hate, I think, that screws people up when they hear, oh, hate, well, I've got to be bitter and
mean.
No, you treat them just like everybody else. You meet their need.
Yeah.
And you be consistent in what you do and say. But you cannot in any way encourage what those things represent.
So the word hate, though, takes on
it's a perfect word.
Yeah, but you got to hear what I'm saying.
I heard what you're saying. You're trying to dance.
Okay, I don't agree with you.
Okay, well, tell me why you don't agree with me.
Because I'm trying to get the word hate in the right context and out of what we feel it means because of our English language. To us, hate is when you're rejected and you get all bitter and upset and want to kick and fight and scream.
But
I don't think that's the intent of that word in this usage. It's too completely.
You only
spiritually
no here. Force. Listen, hate means hate. It means in Messiah, in the Greek language, which is hate, means hate. It means the same thing it does in English. But you're thinking of hate with regard to you being the victim. What somebody does to you. How you respond.
Right.
You're always the head. You're never the tail. You always lay down your life for those you hate. You must love those that hate you. You must always lay down your life to meet their need, no matter who it is. You're never the victim of hate. You're using the word as a victim of it instead of as a believer. You can't, but a believer can never be a victim. You've been hated in your life. You've been abused in your life. And so you're responding to that word as a victim. Because of that, your tendency is always to try to be nice, to try to make friends, to try to smooth things over, to try not to have a confrontation. It's perfect, just a perfect example, because you just collapsed. Well, that's when I said what I said.
Well, I did collapse because I think you're talking to somebody I don't know.
I know you don't know who you are. You always think of you as a victim, and it's got to change.
I don't think of me as a victim.
Is it ridiculous for you to have spent your entire life trying to be nice?
It's ridiculous if I think of how I spent
my life. Isn't the thing that has happened between you and I for 27 years or how long it is. That you wanted to be my friend. That I enjoyed making people mad at me.
That was a long time ago stuff.
It's just happened again.
I don't see how it happened. What happened just now...
You became a victim of me and shut down.
What happened is the conversation got into a realm that I wasn't talking about. This is how you interpret what I'm saying. And that's not what I was saying. So suddenly you're talking about things that can't relate to. And so now I got to rewind to try and figure out where this conversation's going.
How many times have you seen this exact same thing happen to Harry and I?
Well, I don't know that it is the exact same thing. I think he, when you get on him, he probably
he deserves
understands.
It.
No, he probably understands. And at least you're talking about the same subject. I think he changed subjects.
I said hate is hate.
And I'm talking about the emotional part of the word hatred is what I was talking about, nothing more. And I think when you say hate, people don't understand it because we interpret it in our English language.
Right, and I'm saying that it's the same in the Hebrew language and it's the same in the Greek language. Hate is hate.
Well, I'm saying I think it's different. Because the word hate to me doesn't make sense in that context.
Okay, let's
I think hate, when you hate a girl or you hate a bully or you hate somebody who acts stupid or does something really weird, you hate that. And that's how normally
that's how you emotionally respond. That's how you're wired.
Yeah, it's an emotional thing.
Right. You're wired to respond that way.
Yeah.
Okay. So and I'm saying that you have to respond the same. First of all, the emotion. You have to pay as least attention to your emotional response as you do to your mental response.
Which is a separation. You divorce it.
Never as a believer. You never respond to either one. No matter if you hated me with perfect hatred, I would still try to meet your need. I would never that doesn't have anything to do with it. But from the standpoint of my relationship to you, if you were my sister or brother or father or son, then I have to hate that with the same hatred that you listed, the hatred that you don't like bullies or you don't do this. It's the idea that the idea of being a friend, the idea of being a wife, the idea of being a father has to have the same emotional component as you just expressed for the things that you don't like, that you hate. You hate bullies. Harry hates bullies. Well, I was a bully when I was a kid. Now, I don't hate bullies. I don't care if they bully me or not. But my point to you is that the same emotional response that you have to those, you must have, it has to be the same perfect hatred with regard to any of these other people responding to them as those roles. That's why, I've seen you with your mother. I've seen him with his mother. You're different. I'm saying that you must step up to the bar and no longer be different. You must hate them with the same hatred that you hate bullies. And still love them.
That's what he's doing with you right now.
And still lay down your life for them.
It's like he hates the Gary thing that he sees. And so the hatred is fuel for the zeal, not fuel for like throwing a hatchet at you or something. It's the zeal in the confrontation against that thing. Sometimes it's just the thing in your mind, that maybe doesn't have anything to do at all with that person. They're not, chattering about that, but your mind is chattering about it, and that's And that's hatred should well up in you in the form of zeal to revenge or disobedience at that moment. And that's what.
And you will be free from ever again responding to a person after the flesh. When you can deal with this issue. Now, all of us who have been with you for many, many years can identify the tendency in you to want to have peace, to not want confrontation. That's been your hallmark. Today, that hallmark dies.
I really brought this up for other folks.
No, it has to do with you, but it also has to do with a whole lot of other people. That never again will you respond positively or negatively, whether you like or dislike somebody, to their persona. Not your wife, not your mother, not your father, because you no longer, now you can with perfect hatred hate those roles. In fact, hate the role of you as wanting to have peace. Now, I wasn't talking about something different than you were. Don't dance here. This is why people hate me so bad.
No, I understand.
Okay, so you understand that we are talking about exactly the same thing. Gary, you're going to get it. Don't dance anymore. Your dancing on your high place has to be over.
Look, I'm telling you what's there. If you don't like it, that's a problem.
Okay. What I want you to see is that we are not and have not talked about anything different. Because if you can think that we talked about something different, then you can continue in the role that you have been, and that role must die.
There's no question about it. I don't have an issue with that.
Okay.
But I'm not going to sit here and lapdog you.
I don't want you to lapdog
right,
me.
I know you don't. And I'm not going to say, oh yeah, well, I agree.
Okay. That's bullshit. Okay, well then now it's time to have other witnesses. Right. Does anybody think that I changed?
Well, Oli was talking about the same thing he's talking about now, and you're just now getting it.
But see, he wasn't talking about what I was talking about first. He changed the subject. But I don't think that's the issue.
No, I don't know what you were talking about. Yeah. There's no way for anybody to...
It really doesn't matter. I mean, I don't care how we got here. You know, we're either here now or we're not. But I see it.
Okay. I pray that you do.
I do.
Time will tell. Probably in about 5 or 10 minutes.
No, stop.
You might want
stop.
To do exactly that.
Stop a minute. I want you to hear something. Without this, Bible studies become boring because they're not real. Now, does anybody understand that? Do you understand that? You know I'm talking to you also?
Yes, I do.
Huh?
Yes, I do.
But you know I've been not much nicer to you because you haven't been here as long?
He didn't know if you'd been nicer than him or not.
Really?
I'm talking to every one of you. You must put off the old man and put on the new. The old man of corruption in which you're happiness and peace is dependent on their response to you. God help you if you don't hear this.
Something occurred to me while you guys were talking.
Talking?
You know that thing where it says, let none of you suffer as an evildoer or murderer or whatever? And the idea is it's not saying don't be a murderer. It's saying, don't
do it as a Christian.
Don't think of yourself as this. This is not what you are. This thing about hating
the list of people is the same thing. It's the same thing as saying, let none of you suffer as a son, a husband, a wife, a brother. Don't. You can't think. If I think of that lady who lives in New Jersey as my mother, what I'm really doing is I'm saying, the way she affects me, the way that she is important to me, the thing that matters to me is this thing rather than that person. It's how it affects me. It's the ultimate in defining a utilitarian relationship. It's what of what use are you to me, my boss?
No, yeah, and you can't respond to me either. If you respond to me without being who you are, then you're still just another hypocrite also. Aren't you tired of hypocrisy? Aren't you tired of living a double life? Aren't you tired of masquerading? God wants you to be free. Be totally you. If you get mad at me, say it. Nothing can separate us until you decide to sneak off into the night. I'm not going to leave you. That must be proven by now. God's certainly not going to leave you. But the Bible studies must, they're not a place to sit around and read Scripture. They're a place to manifest the Scripture internally so that the Word becomes flesh in you. And the only way that can be done is by exposing the bullshit that is inside you. That's the preaching of the cross. Exposing the hypocrisy that's inside you, that you retain because you're afraid of somebody's response to you. That you're afraid, oh, they won't like me. I don't give a rat's ass if you like me or not. But this is not me. This is the way Ole's wired. No, this is not the way I'm wired. Can you just taste for a second the freedom of never again being different inside than you are outside? That's what's set before you. What I said about Gary, about he can put away that tendency to want to have peace among people, because that will always prevent you from preaching the cross. I had a great sermon planned this morning, and you screwed it all up. Anybody have any response? You can't do that alone. Because you'll just lie to yourself as you've done your whole life. You know the truth, and the truth shall set you free, but the truth is Jesus Christ. You can't know yourself. You're unknowable by yourself because you were a liar from the beginning, and that's all you will do is continue to lie to yourself. You are of your father, the devil. That's what Jesus told his disciples. And it got worse. He told Peter, the most powerful, the first pope, get thee behind me, Satan. Because he savored the things which be of men and not of God. I promise you that Dana and Wade's marriage will become boring. It'll be boring first to Dana unless he begins to open up and really say what's there, but don't have any weight behind it. In other words, say what's there without being this is what I'm telling you to do. You say what's there in confession, not in judgment. Dana will get bored to death. I told you that before you got married, I think. But so will your Bible studies become rottenly boring unless there is this working out of this mystery inside you, and that can't come without confrontation.
County, I was thinking even this Bible study today could be boring to someone who is holding in.
Of course.
Sitting in, you know, sitting there with stuff going on, and then it doesn't matter what's going on. It's like,
oh, well, because they won't
you're
penetrate.
There, you're not there, and it's
yeah, because your ear isn't circumcised. Your heart isn't circumcised. You're just sitting in judgment. We've had people here that sat here for years. All they did is sit in judgment. And they'd wait until they could expound something they thought was spiritual. But in truth, they were sitting in judgment for years and years. I knew it. I'd call them on it every once in a while, and they, well, yeah, you're right. And they'd go back to being the same as they always were.
When we first started talking today, a lot of times I can say I agree or something, you know, but I can't even remember what you were saying first about the cross. And it was like even for me to agree was a part of the old man trying to save himself, to get in alignment with the preaching and be in agreement with it to avoid confrontation. So I couldn't even say anything. It was like a weird place.
And I could have agreed with you that the meaning of them was different, that what you had to do, you know. I mean, it just goes on endless.
Yeah.
And then you just become a big pile of stinking flesh.
Yeah.
Worm-eaten, corrupted manna of the mind. I got to use that phrase. I haven't used that for years.
What's been said, you know, it cleared up a whole lot of stuff. I'll just go back to the beginning for it.
Go ahead and get your cereal.
Where you said, and that's one thing I don't like, it's when I'm talking to people in the
room.
Ronnie? Ronnie, look at me carefully. That's tough.
I know. So anyway, here's what I'm saying. Going back to the beginning about meeting the need of somebody who hates you. And I was thinking, you know, I have no interest in trying to meet the need of a person who hates me or a person that I hate. Okay? And it was, I guess it's something that I'm not seeing or I don't understand. And then when you and Gary got into it, I was getting mad at you. About, it's like, you know, you're picking a fight with Gary, and Gary is a nice guy. I don't like to see nice people, you know.
So I was bullying him.
Yeah.
Yeah, and right. you felt some sympathy.
Right.
You were in an alliance.
Yeah.
We could end up with one another.
You know, it's just
why didn't you step in and help him?
No. You know, I was tempted.
Let me think
where this goes. You know, let's wait. You know, let's see where this goes. I might be a little too hasty in my defense.
Poor Gary.
Yeah. But
Gary would have loved it.
But back to the enemy.
And you know, it was, and like Michael was saying, you know, I was having an emotional response to that. You know, I guess it's, you know, it's what I do. You know, I'm the same way too. You know, I try to avoid, you know, confrontation too. You know.
Oh, I didn't know that. No, look, all of us do.
Yeah.
That's why we must constantly be exhorted. I don't like confrontation any more than you do. I know you don't believe that, but. But there has to be. We must exhort one another daily while it is still called today. If you don't do that, you're wasting your time.
And the other part of that is that it's like, okay, the avoidance of confrontation. You can't always do that. You know, I feel like it's an inevitable thing that you're going to have confrontation. So it's like, okay,
but stop thinking about it.
Yeah, right.
Stop trying to figure it out. Just be.
Yeah, I'm not. You know, I'm just
stop thinking. Trying to figure it out. All you have to do is be Ronnie. You don't have to sit and think about it and try to process it into the Antichrist mode. Just be you. Not you. You're trying to. What people try to do is they try to take this and then they try to mold it and process it in so they can add it to their tool of their toolbox. So next time I can do better. And so next time I have a confrontation, I may be not, or may, who knows what you're going to do? I may even be nice one day.
I'm thinking like, you know, if it happens, you know it happens. And, you know, you just have to deal with it.
No, you don't. God deals with it. You don't have to deal with everything ever again. You That's why our language is so critical. You don't deal with anything. Nothing about you is your business. You are not your own. You've been bought with a price. You don't have to be right. You don't have to ever worry about whether this is going on or that's going on. You're not your own. You're nothing about you as you. You accept to be you. Accept to bubble forth and say what's there all the time. Stop using that which is cursed to try to be that which is blessed. You don't have to think about it anymore. You can abandon yourself completely and be free. You've heard me tell you this before. All right.
I just saw a place in me that where I hate my own life, and what I hate about it is when you and I get in a confrontation or whatever, this little asshole shuts down, and then my brain quits working when I think you've changed subject or whatever it is, and I hate that because then I'm useless, you know, and I sit unable to speak because of fear. So it's like you're not hurting my feelings. I'm hurting my feelings. Or whatever. It's not really about you.
It's about the wounded child.
Yeah, and that dominates.
Right. Because the stimulus happens, and so the wounded child, the victim, returns.
Right.
That's why. That's this has to be exposed.
Yeah.
That's the wandering after the beast. You're focusing on this
weird. Yeah. All righty. We'll continue this for a while, I'm sure.
Something
along the consecrations of Abraham. Abraham had the same difficulties.
Abraham wouldn't enter into this study at all.